Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And joining us on the line right now is Pete Hoekstra, senior fellow at the Investigative Project on Terrorism. He's also the former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee and a good friend of this program. Thank you, Congressman Hoekstra, for joining us.
Hey, great to be with you. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so listen, there's so much to ask you about the Orlando shooter and the investigation that is ongoing. I'm a little troubled by the fact that this administration seems to be in a rush to put a big red bow on this thing and say it was domestic, homegrown terrorism. We're finding out that this man went to the Hajj on two different occasions, consecutive years, which I'm told is unusual, and that the Saudis very quickly wanted to say, oh, he didn't do anything he shouldn't have done while he was here. He didn't meet with anybody he shouldn't have met with. How in the world could they possibly know that, and why are they rushing to try to make this domestic terrorism homegrown?
They won't know that. Let me divert for just a second. You know, I met with Muammar Gaddafi three times between 2003 and 2010, and we talked about the threat from radical Islam. And he said one of the things that he worried about in his regime, in his government, was when the young people of Libya made the trip to Saudi Arabia for the Hajj. He says when they go to Saudi Arabia, they are targeted, they are recruited, and that is when radical jihadist groups believe that they can get their hands on some of these individuals. And so there's no way at this point that our government knows exactly what happened on those trips to Saudi Arabia. What I can tell you is that a young man going to Saudi Arabia on the Hajj would be a highly sought-after target by radical jihadist groups, and that may be where the radicalization process started.
And it would be unusual to go 2 years in a row, but why are they pushing for this to be domestic? Why are they so strong in making that point?
Well, they've been reluctant to admit this threat that's out there. And remember, if this gets tied to an international nexus, their record in the Middle East is atrocious. Libya is now a failed state. Egypt is a failed, Egypt almost became a failed state. Syria and Iraq are failed states. Yemen is a failed state. Their track record internationally is atrocious. And what you have is you now have places where these organizations can plan, prepare, and train for the next attacks. It's much easier to say, you know, this happened, the guy got on the internet, was self-radicalized, that's an internal threat, and, you know, this international thing that's totally disrupting Europe, that's not coming over here. It simplifies the problem to a great extent. It also excuses their immigration policy, where they're letting in thousands of these folks from the Middle East as refugees without having any idea who these people are or what their ties are.
And I want to talk about that as well, because, you know, they keep saying, oh, there's since 9/11 there have been no foreign fighter terror attacks. That's the language they're using. You know, discounting the fact that, well, let's just look at San Bernardino, if we could, Pete Hoekstra, the woman, Syed Farouk, she was born in Pakistan. She was processed and interviewed and screened from coming into the country when she was the fiance of Tafsin Malik. And I flipped their names there. Tafsin was the woman and Syed Farouk was the man. She was investigated and she was given a clean bill of health and given a green card. We found out later that the two of them talked about jihad before they even met each other in person. So what kind of investigations are going on in these cases, and should they be tightening these investigations?
Absolutely, they need to be tightening these investigations. Remember, right now, the focus is on, quote-unquote, Syrian refugees. Syria is a failed state. The states around it are failed states. By definition, if you're coming from a region like that, there's not a government structure or there's not access to databases that would tell you or give you any background on these people, whether they've been arrested, whether they've been investigated, or whether there have been suspicions. We don't even really know what country they are from.
Yeah.
This is a problem that Europe is having.
It's not like we can tap into the Damascus Hall of Records and take a look at all of the great record keeping they keep there. These people are coming. They're refugees, for crying out loud.
That's exactly right. And we have to remember, these refugee situations did not exist to this extent from these countries prior to this administration. Libya was an ally and was stopping the refugee flow from northern Africa into Europe. Assad was keeping a lid on the garbage can of radical jihadists. And this administration facilitated the lifting of the top of the garbage can. They took the lid off the garbage can, and radical jihadism has spawned a huge growth curve over the last 5-10 years. In 2001, 9/11, there were roughly 2,500 people that were being killed as a result of radical jihadist activities around the world. In 2010, 2011, that number was around 9,000.
Mm-hmm.
But by 2014, 2015, that number had grown to 28,000 per year. Radical jihadism is on the move. They are effectively winning. The president says, well, you know, they're losing territory. One of the most ridiculous comments I've ever heard was the president said, well, they're cutting salaries,
yeah,
you know, for their government bureaucrats. You know, during his term in office, the radical jihadist groups, they have formed a quasi-functioning nation state.
Yeah.
And he says, well, the win is we're forcing them to cut their pay.
Let me ask you very quickly, with our time running down, I want to get into this. This Orlando shooter was investigated by the FBI. They found nothing on two different occasions, and they had to close out the investigation. Why did that investigation have to be closed out? Who's forcing them to do that? Is it the law, or is it the Justice Department and their guidelines?
It's probably the Justice Department and their guidelines. I think if they believed this person was a real and genuine threat, they could have continued this. But remember, this administration and like-minded individuals in New York City closed down one of the most effective surveillance programs in the country, right, if not in the world. You know, going to where the threats emanated from and monitoring those. Political correctness in New York, the new mayor and the new police chief said, we're going to stop this program. They've effectively stopped it. I think that same kind of politically correct thinking is going through the Justice Department.
All right.
And that's the result that we see.
We have to leave it right there. Representative Pete Hoekstra, former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, it is a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Always good to talk with you.